Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God that we meditate upon this morning is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 40 to 52. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subjected to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So far our text. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. We, like Solomon and like Jesus, have come this morning into the house of God. We are currently standing or sitting in his presence. And the question is, now we are before God, what are we going to ask? I'm sure at some point in your life you've all been asked the question or thought, if you had a genie with three wishes, what would you wish for? Our reading from Ephesians this morning reminds us that God indeed wants to pour out his blessings upon us. That is why we are here, to receive the blessings, to receive the gifts from our Lord and Savior. So the question is, what are we going to ask of him today? Gold and silver, fame and fortune, or maybe world peace? Solomon asked for wisdom, and that very much pleased the Lord. But notice that in our Old Testament reading, the wisdom that Solomon asked for was not just any wisdom. He wasn't asking to be made a great scientist. He wasn't asking to know how to split an atom or shoot rockets to the moon. But he was asking for the wisdom to lead God's people. In fact, he says straight up to the Lord, "You've given me this task. You've called me to lead your people. Now I need wisdom in order to do that." So it wasn't just wisdom that Solomon was asking for, as wonderful as that is, but the thing that was necessary, the thing he needed to complete the work that the Lord had put before him. So also, we find in our text this morning as well, that Jesus comes into the Father's house seeking the wisdom that he needed to complete the will, to do the task that God had set before him, the task of prophet, priest, and king, the task of Savior, Redeemer, teacher, and judge. It must be so. It is necessary, he tells his mother, Mary. It is necessary to seek the things of the Father, the Father's will. And Jesus delights to do so. Psalm 40, verses 7 to 8, the psalmist prophesies concerning this very day that we read about here in our text. He says, "Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is written within my heart." Wouldn't it be great if we had children who were this eager to do what they were supposed to do? To listen and delighted to do not only what their parents told them, but what God told them to do. Unfortunately, we have sinful children who are not this eager to do what they are supposed to do. And guess what? Our parents had children that were not that eager to do what they were supposed to as well, except my parents, their third child was pretty good at it, really. But Jesus comes to delight and to do the will of his Father. It is necessary, he says. And that's a phrase that we're going to hear repeated again and again throughout the Gospels. Something that Luke especially is going to come back to. It is necessary. He tells John the Baptist, it is necessary that I must be baptized. It is necessary that he comes down from the mountain and teaches the people instead of staying up in the glory of heaven. It is necessary, he says, to accept the Father's will, to accept the cup of suffering. It is necessary, he says, to set his face to Jerusalem, to go up to die. It is necessary to do all that the Father has planned out for him. But before he can do any of that, we find him at a young age, at the age of 12, it is necessary to learn. It is necessary to grow in wisdom. It is necessary for him to be the perfect man. This text is kind of the odd man out. It's kind of an odd text for Epiphany, because usually in Epiphany we're really focused on God, Jesus showing himself to be the Son of God with power. And so we see his miracles. We see heaven open and the Father speaking from heaven. We see him bathed in the glory of God. We're usually really focused on that physical presentation of Christ's divinity. But there's none of that in our text this morning. There's no miracle. There's no voice from heaven. There's no divine power. Jesus does claim to be the Son of God. He tells his mother Mary, "Did you not know I would be about my Father's business? I'm not Joseph's son," he's saying. "I am Son of God the Father." And so he claims a title and an inheritance that is only possible of the Son of God, but he doesn't do any miracles. Everything he does in our text, he does according to his human nature. He shows himself to be the perfect man, eager and desiring to do the Father's will, and obedient even to his parents. That's something that sometimes can be confusing or a little misleading in this text. Sometimes people read this account and they say, well, you know, if Jesus was the perfect son, why didn't he go with his parents when they left? Why did they have to come back searching for him? But you notice that Luke emphasizes the fact that Jesus was a boy. He says, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. When you accidentally leave your child at a gas station because you, for some reason, assumed he was in the car and he's not, and drive away, it's not the child's fault, is it? In fact, for that matter, if you leave your wife at the gas station and drive away, it's not your wife's fault either. You go ahead and try and blame her. It's not going to go well. When parents forget to check that their son is with them, and especially this is Jesus' first trip to Jerusalem, his first trip to the Passover, there's no reason that he should have known when and where his parents were going to leave. They just assumed he was with them. They failed in their parenting duties, not Jesus. Jesus is in every instant obedient and respectful to his parents and to his Father. Eagerly delighting, he came up to Jerusalem for this purpose. That's what he says to Mary, isn't it? "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's things?" This is why we came here. to offer sacrifices, to be in the presence of God, to learn His Word. And that's what I'm doing, the very thing we came to do. And as we see Jesus, even at the age of 12, fulfilling being the perfect man, being whom we should have been when we were 12, but we aren't really doing a very good job even now at 38 or 50 or 70, whatever age you are, we see how far short we come. This is who God created us to be, but because of Adam's sin, and that sin entered the world and corrupted and destroyed God's perfect creation, we don't measure up. That's okay. It's not good, but it's okay. Because here we see Jesus fulfilling that for us, being that perfect man, doing all that God commands, fulfilling the law of God, fulfilling Psalm 40, delighting in His law, and doing it in our place. He was and is what we should be, but He didn't do it in condemnation. He did it for us. So it was necessary for Him to be the perfect man. It was also necessary for Him to grow in wisdom, as we mentioned before, in order to do all the things that the Father has in store for Him. And notice that He grows in wisdom in two ways in our text. The first is that delight in God's Word, and He studies it and learns it and grows in that Word of God. But also, He sits and listens, doesn't He? Listens to the teachers, asking them questions and answering their questions and discussing with them. Now, we're not very good at the first one often. We're often not very good at delighting in His Word and growing in His Word, but we're even often worse at that second part, listening to others. But growing in God's Word, growing in wisdom, demands listening. I knew a person many years ago who had, well, it seemed to me anyway, maybe it's not fair, but it seemed to me like they always thought they understood other people. But because this person thought that they already knew, already understood other people, they never bothered to ask questions. They never bothered to listen. And so they were often mistaken. That's a temptation, a sin of which pastors are particularly prone, and really anyone in authority. We spend 7 years studying at the seminary and we come out thinking we know everything, and somebody comes to us with a problem, we assume from the start we know what the problem is, and often don't listen. And that's why James tells us, and I got the passage, such an important passage, right? James 1:19. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. That's how we learn wisdom. And I haven't printed out passages for you guys to take home in a while, but this is one that it's worth taking home and putting on your fridge. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Probably one of the easiest ways to improve your marriage, to bite back your tongue and listen to what the other person is actually saying. They say that President Reagan was the great communicator, but they say what made him such a great communicator is he didn't talk, he listened first. And not listening in the way that we usually do it, where we're letting them talk, but really we're thinking about what we're going to say next. But actually listening to what they are saying. In this text, we find Jesus listening and asking and learning. Jesus, the task that God the Father had given Him is to be the judge of all the earth. And before He judges, He listens. Now, it's easy to say, well, he was God. He knew everyone's heart. But here He is acting according to His humanity. He's not using His omniscience. He is listening and understanding. And later on in His ministry, when He's 30 years old and he's going out, he's going to judge and he's going to condemn the Pharisees and the Sadducees and a lot of their teaching. And he's able to do it right and justly because here he is listening to what they have to say. And it's part of what made Jesus such a great teacher as well, isn't it? Because he listened and therefore he understood what they misunderstood. He understood where their problems were, and he learned God's word, then he listened to the people, and he's able to apply the word. We find him throughout his teaching career saying, "You've been taught this, but that's not right. Look at what God's word says." This is what makes Jesus such a wonderful and perfect high priest and king and good shepherd for us. And he is always eager and willing to listen. He wants us to come to him in prayer. He wants to hear the thoughts of our hearts. And then he knows how to speak to us through his word, to apply his word to the worries and the problems and the sins and the issues that surround us. I'm not always the best at doing that, but Jesus is very good at doing that. I'm sure we all can think of someone in our life, someone in our past, a teacher, a parent, a judge, a pastor, a police officer, doctors are notorious for that, right? Who we get frustrated with because they won't listen when we're trying to tell them what the problem is. I remember in particular one time when I was out driving late at night, I was driving home. One or two of my brothers were with me, and a police officer pulled us over, and he was convinced that we were on our way to a party, and he made us get out and look through the whole car. He was convinced we had alcohol hidden in there someplace, and we kept telling him, "No, we're just going home. We weren't at any party," but he didn't listen to us. Christ is not like this. Christ does not judge unfairly. He is one whom we can trust and we can come to with all of our problems, who will judge in wisdom. We see him growing in wisdom in our text. Each and every one of us has received many blessings from the Lord. That's what we're told in Ephesians. He's poured out his gifts. He's poured out his blessings upon us. There's no doubt about that. But the question is, are we going to grow in these gifts like Jesus, even at the age of 12. He doesn't sit back and say, "Well, I'm God, you know. I'll just know what to say when the time comes." No, he's in the temple, eager to learn, eager to grow in that wisdom so he can do the task the Lord has set before him. And so we also, are we going to grow in the gifts that God has given us, or are we going to sit back and just say, "Well, it's okay. I'll figure it out later." Are we forgiven? Yes. Absolutely, 100%. We stand in Jesus' blood and we stand forgiven of our sins. Are we saved? Absolutely. Each and every one of us has received the gift that Christ died to give us, the forgiveness of our sins. Are we blessed and filled with the gifts of God, each in our own unique way? Yes. God promises us that in the only question is, are we going to use those gifts for the glory of his name? And we don't always. We're not perfect like Jesus was. We fail, we mess up, we sin. But Jesus did it for us. And here we see Christ, who entered the temple at the age of 12 and dedicated himself to the work of the Father. He was perfect in our place so that we can receive forgiveness before the Father. And he grew in wisdom so that he could be our great high priest, prophet, and king, our good shepherd, always watching over us, always leading us to the waters that we need. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.